bit of Bible trivia for you. We don't know who it's written by. So a lot of people have a pretty good idea, and I also think I have a pretty good idea, but we don't know. We don't know who it's written by. Psalm 119. Good old Sammy. Good old Sammy. Just so you know, Chris, just so you don't get shocked, I have a clicker, so I'll be clicking. So don't be. If you see the computer change before your eyes, it's not. There's nothing. Yeah. Okay, Serenity, what's your question? Should be right in the middle of your Bible, like 3 pages long.
Yeah.
499 in Randy's Bible. In my Bible, it's on page 1.
What?
Yeah, because I put it right up in front of my notes. 325. So, pretty much aim right in the middle, Psalm 119, verse 145. Y'all feel me? Y'all feel me? Wah, wah, wah. Okay, let's stand on our feet. And we're gonna... No! I actually didn't come up with that. I heard someone do it before. Okay, do you hear like a mosquito whistle?
Yeah, whoever's doing that.
Is it somebody? Oh my goodness, how are you doing that? Wow. Don't do it again because... It's doing weird things to me. Okay, verse 145. Shh, you guys got it?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I cry out with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. Verse 146. I cry out to you, save me, and I will keep your testimonies. I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this privilege we have multiple times in the week to come together and to gather under your name and study your word. And we pray that even though we get to read your Bible a lot, that this would be fresh for us and that we would take away something new, that you would give us hearts and minds that are ready to take and apply to our lives, and that you would fill me with your spirit to speak your word and fill everybody else with your spirit to receive your word and to grow deeper in it. We love you so much, and we give you this time. We pray all this in your name. All God's people said, amen to the men. So last week we looked at how to read the Bible. We saw it's important to take it slow. A lot of people want to just dive right in and like read the whole Bible in 6 months, and that's huge. That's so crazy. One day, I feel like you read way too fast. And we saw that it's important to read complete passages. Some people want to treat it like it's this little book of magic where you open it up and it says, here's the word for you today. And it's not like that. You gotta get it in your life. And then we finished up looking at how important it is to be consistent in reading the Bible. And I left off saying that you do not have to read your Bible every day. You don't have to be in it every single day because it's not a commandment. It's not a commandment of Scripture to be in it every single day. But the more you read the Bible, the better it will get. So what I want to do today is look at in more detail when we should be reading our Bibles, when to read your Bible. And this is a really common question. A lot of people want to know, how often should I read my Bible? When in the day should I be reading my Bible? How much should I read? Am I reading enough? And the common answer that people get to these questions is every day. We've all heard the saying, read your Bible and pray every single day. No. We could make it into a song. Read your Bible, pray every single day. Though I agree with this, I kind of feel like saying read your Bible and pray every single day is it's a blanket answer to something that's really personal and that would range to kind of every single person. Because I believe that some people need to read their Bible every single day. But I believe other people need to read their Bible multiple times a day. And I believe some people can get away with not reading their Bible as often as every single day. maybe every other day, or maybe on weekdays, or whatever someone ends up being led to do as they read their Bible. So our main focus today, what I want to do is give you guys the reasons why you should read your Bible every day. What's the why behind the read your Bible every single day? So that you yourself can make an educated decision on how often you personally need to be reading your Bible. So to do this, what we're going to do is we're going to look at some highlights of Psalm 119, because the writer, who we do not know, so we'll refer to him as the writer of Psalms, or of Psalm 119, not all the Psalms, just specifically Psalm 119. And we're going to see that in these 176 verses, that the writer straight up boasts on the Word of God. That's what it's all about. It's all about how good the Bible is. The Bible is so good. And he goes on, literally almost every single verse, to say, this is why I read the Word of God. The Word of God is good. Bam. Next point. This is why I read the Word of God. The Word of God is good. Bam. Next point. And that's really, it's really good. So buckle up, because we're going to cover 176 verses tonight, and it's going to be under 15 minutes. I'm kidding! Come on! Wow, I heard the sighs. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. But no, we're gonna look at four main points. The first, rejuvenation, which isn't a common word, rejuvenate, to be rejuvenated. I'm rejuvenated. I'm rejuvenated. I can't do an Arnold Schwarzenegger, sorry. Second, comfort. Is it comfortable? Third, guidance. As we walk through life, the guidance that is necessary. And then four, peace. And that's kind of a weird bunch. Like, they're not... like, comfort and peace are kind of similar. But it's weird seeing that all together. But it's all going to tie together in the end, so bear with me. First, rejuvenation, comfort, guidance, and peace. Now, the first thing that I need to clear up is that tonight I am not talking about your devotional life. Though a devotional life is usually going to include reading your Bible, within that, it should also include a whole lot more. So when I say read your Bible, do not think my devotional life. That's something totally different that we'll probably cover in a Jesus jargon little mini series, because it kind of is a Jesus jargon, because the Bible never says do a daily devotion. But we've made that term, and so we'll look at what that means later on. But tonight, we're only talking about reading the Bible. So when I say reading the Bible, don't get it confused with your devotional life. Just think simply reading the Bible. So first, rejuvenation. Verse 25 of Psalm 119 says, my soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. Then verse 28 says, my soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Here we see that life, and the writer of this chapter knew it very well, that life is not always light and fluffy. Sometimes life is heavy, and it's like we're being dragged around through life, and we can't keep up with an old man trying to pull his house to, what's it called? Adventure Falls. Adventure is out there. It's up, yeah. No, but they're getting the house to... I'm pretty sure it's called Adventure Falls.
Paradise Falls.
Oh my goodness. I did not prepare for this, guys. I'm so sorry. But sometimes, if we're real, sometimes life is heavy. Sometimes we like to watch TV shows and romantic comedies, and we're like, oh, life is so beautiful. We watch, like, what's that Disney thing that it's like Planet Earth, and we're like, wow. Nature and life is such a beautiful thing. But they don't show you the, like, nasty funguses growing in, like, nasty stuff and doing nasty things. And they do, but only the beautiful fungi. The nasty fungi are not shown. Trust me. But life isn't always easy. And we're not... Sometimes when we go through life, we don't always have that warm, fuzzy, like... Yada, da, 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 singing songs everywhere we go, walking in with a smile on our face. Sometimes life is heavy. But not only is life heavy, sometimes our hearts are just heavy. And it doesn't even have a reason. Our heart is just heavy. Our mind is spinning about things that we don't even know what we're thinking about. We can't focus. Our heart is like weighed down, but we're like, everything around me is okay, but my heart is like, I don't even know. But here, the psalmist is telling us, the Bible has the ability to revive us, to strengthen us when it seems like we can't go on any further. Like we're just being dragged by an old man in his house and like we can't go on any further. But the Bible shows us that we can. The Bible gives us the tools and the strength. It rejuvenates us so that we can get up the next day and be confident and bold in what Jesus has for us. The second thing that we look at is comfort. Verse 50, the psalmist writes, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life." In other parts of this chapter, the writer describes affliction as life feeling like everything is against him. Like, he's like, I go outside and it's raining, and I know it's raining just because I hate the rain. And then I get to school and I'm 5 minutes early and all I have to do is sit in the rain, and then I forgot my lunch because it was raining, and then it goes on. And you guys know those days where it's like, it's not only people are against us, but it's like nature itself, it's against us. And like inanimate objects are against us. And life is just not going well. Someone who knew this very well was the myth, the man, the Charlie Brown. I mean, he didn't have it rough. But I feel like we all relate to Charlie Brown because we kind of get in those moods where it's like, oh my goodness, woe is me. I walked outside to check the mail and none of it had my name on it. Why did I even check the mail? Why am I outside when I could be inside? And it like we get ourselves in these rhythms. And the psalmist says that the word of God, when it feels like nothing's going our way, there's no sense of rest and comfort. It's in those times, the only thing that comforts the writer is the time that he has spent in God's word, the time that he's spent reading it and getting to know it more. So comfort is something very important that we get from God's word when we spend consistent time reading in it. The third thing that we'll look at is guidance. Psalm 105, you guys probably know this verse. It says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You guys probably could have finished it. You know the verse really well. Life is filled with decisions. Should I go left? Should I go right? But there's also harder decisions, like what am I going to watch on Netflix tonight? Can I get an amen? Right? But there's even harder decisions, like what should I say to this person who's in need of a lot of help? What can I say that's not just going to be that cheesy, like, hang in there, buddy, but actually something that's going to help them eternally and help them in what's going on in their life? Should I hang out with those people or should I not hang out with those people? Should I believe this that I'm being taught in school or should I not believe it? Should I write about this in my essay or should I not write about it? Can I not? There's a lot of questions that we face. Should I agree with this? Should I disagree with that? Life has a lot of options. It has a lot of directions. There's a lot of forks on a road with a whole lot of forks and a whole lot of forks, and we're constantly making decisions. Some of them are easy, but some of them are harder. And the writer of Psalm 119 says, the Bible is that thing that we can ask for help when we don't know which way to go. You know what I'm talking about? Who are we gonna ask for help when we don't know which way to go? The map, yes. And the Bible is that thing that can guide us. That thing that guides us in life when we come to things that we don't know which way to go. We don't know what's gonna happen. If I choose this, it could affect my entire future. If I don't choose this, I'm really bad at making decisions. We face decisions all the time, you guys know. And then finally, the last thing that we're gonna look at and focus in on is peace. Verse 165, almost the end of the chapter, says, "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble." Life is crazy. And sometimes it's crazier than others, and like sometimes life is really, really crazy, and sometimes life is chill. But life can put us through a lot of stuff. And in such crazy times that we face, currently, peace is such a valuable thing. People are always looking for peace. That's why we like to go on vacations frequently, but a lot of times it doesn't work out because we end up stressing ourselves out on vacations. We like to seek things that are going to give us peace, so we look for different friends. Maybe they're going to give me rest, or maybe I'll just play a whole bunch of video games so that I don't have to think about what's actually going on in my life, so that I can get some rest, so that I can escape out of that. Maybe I'll binge watch this Netflix show so that I can think about something else, so that I can take my mind off. Maybe I'll get straight A's, because I know if I'm getting straight A's, that I can at least rest. I can at least have peace. And these things that we seek for with peace, they're not eternal. They're not going to last. Yeah, that A might make us feel good for a while, but it's not going to last when we end up with a little B on like an essay, which is, I mean, B's are good. So if you get a B, don't be mad about a B.
Don't
be mad about a B. But the Word of God is overflowing with peace, and all we have to do is read it. It's literally, there's so much peace in there that's ready for us to just receive it, to just read it and receive it, not read it and weep, read it and receive it and just take it in. And this list, it doesn't stop at just rejuvenation and peace and comfort, but it goes on. The psalmist talks about blessing, that when we read God's word, we are blessed. It gives us happiness, genuine happiness everywhere we go. It gives us purity, knowing what to do and what not to do. It cleanses us from our filth. It cleanses us from our unrighteousness. When we don't know how to praise God, it gives us something to praise Him about. It helps us avoid sin. When we can't think of anything to rejoice about, it gives us something to rejoice about. It helps us avoid temptation. It satisfies us in a way that only it can satisfy. That every human was meant to be satisfied. It's our portion. It meets our poverty with riches that can only come from God's word. It gives us wisdom and understanding in situations that only God's word can give us wisdom and understanding. It protects us from things that are going on in this world. And it gives us truth. The only truth that is from the beginning all the way to the end. That eternal truth. We can find it right in the pages of the book that we're reading. And that all of that is mentioned in Psalm 119. And it's easy to see why the writer of this chapter is like we read when we opened up. He's waking up early to study God's word before the dawn, before the sun is up and that rooster crows, because we all have roosters, right, that crow and wake us up. So before the rooster crows, he's waking up to spend time reading God's word before he has to go out and do stuff, whatever he did, because we don't know who he was, but okay. So he's waking up so he can spend time with God. But then he's staying up late. He's staying up late in the night watches just to read more of God's word. So he's giving up on a basic necessity of sleep. He's giving himself less of that because he knows that God's word is more valuable than sleep. And let me tell you, sleep is important. You will go insane without sleep, and then you'll eventually die. Like, sleep is something we need, but we can cut back on it, and it's going to be tough, and we're going to get probably a little grouchy, but God's word will keep us from that. It'll keep us from that grouchiness, because it's satisfying something that's way beyond that. And what's important to realize, it's easy to read this and to think that the Bible is basically like a magic lamp. Like, we pop it open, we rub it, and when we're going through hard things, we need to get to God's word because that right thing is going to speak into my life right in that right moment. And when we view God's word like a magic lamp, that when we're feeling down, it's going to pick us right up because we're going to have to turn to it and do it, we've made a mistake. We've made an error because that's not the way God's word works. It doesn't work as something that if we turn to it and only when we're going through something hard, and we turn to it only when we're really feeling down that it's going to all of a sudden speak the right thing at the right time. You're going to pop it open and it's going to go, here you go, I've got this for you right now. But no, that's not how it works. The way the Bible works is when we consistently read it on a daily basis, maybe even more than once a day, maybe a little less, as we spend time in God's Word, we're going to get prepared for things that are ahead of us. We're going to receive wisdom for things that we're going to be asked about way later on. We're going to get guidance. The Word is going to be a lamp unto our feet before we come to that thing, before we make that wrong decision, before we've got ourselves in a place where life is crazy and we can't even go to God's Word because everything around us is going insane. And so we can view God's Word as a magic lamp, but you're missing out. You're not actually experiencing the magic. That was really cheesy. That was not in my notes, I promise. That was rough. But my encouragement to you guys is, seriously, this is a real encouragement to you, is to take 1 month where you try as hard as you can to read your Bible every single day. And maybe you'll realize that you don't have to read it every single day. You can do it just on weekdays, or you can do it every other day and read a little more on those every other days, or you have to do it more than once a day. But take a month where you try your best to read the Bible every day. And I say a month because if you give yourself a month, you'll actually start to see, whoa, that thing I read a week ago is actually helping me this week. That thing I read at the beginning of this month is helping me with something at the end of this month, or that decision I made based on this is helping me because of that. And so take a month to read your Bible every single day. Try the best. Try the best that you can. If you miss out in the morning, do it at night. You get the idea. And the reason I suggest this is because it would be a shame for a Christian to live their entire life without being able to experience, at least taste and see, the full potential that the Word of God can have in their life. And if you don't at least take a month to read your Bible every single day, then you're not going to know. You're just not going to know. And you might look around and say, I don't feel like God's Word is really that powerful, but it's because you haven't experienced it. You haven't taken at least a month to experience it. And so that's my encouragement to you. Experience that transforming power of the Word of God. Remember, I think I talked about this quite a while ago, that when we get to heaven, the whole, like, getting to know the character of God here on earth and seeing Him through a mirror dimly and honoring Him in that way is going to be gone, because we'll be glorified and we'll see Him face to face and we'll know Him. So the time we have with God's Word is right here and right now. And you can either get to know Him really well so that when you get to heaven, it makes sense. It fits in perfectly. Or you can miss out on that opportunity. And yes, you will go to heaven. But I do believe that Jesus will ask you, did you use this printed material that was handed down from person to person to person? Did you use it to get to know God as best as you could? And right now you have the opportunity to do that. So I encourage you, take 1 month where you try to read the Bible every day and just see what it does. See what it does. That's all I ask. So we're going to go into small groups now. And we're going to ask, how often do you read the Bible currently? And be honest. You don't need to make up like, oh, I read the Bible 3 times a day like I eat meals. No, you don't. Don't need to do that. But be real and be honest. And then we're going to talk about why you need more of the Bible in your life. And if you don't think you need more of the Bible in your life, think about it, because you do. And then we're going to ask where you should be. How often should you read the Bible? And be honest about that. Think about that. So let's pray and break up into small groups. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this theme of reading your Word and being able to grow deeper in it and understand it. And we thank you that it prepares us and it guides us and it rejuvenates us. It gives us hope and comfort and peace like nothing on this world can give us. So we pray that you would teach us how often we as individuals need to be in your Word so that we can honor you in that way. but that it is a real personal commitment. And I pray that you would allow us to really experience that power of your word by taking a month to read your word every day and allow it to do what it does in our hearts. We love you so much. We give you this time in our small groups. Be the center of it, we pray. In your name, amen. All right.